Mountain-moving faith. Okay, we're going to go back in that again tonight. We had started in last week and just got in talking somewhat about, and we'll finish up dealing with mountain-moving faith and really talking about the releasing of our faith, and it was the saying part of faith. We got over in that area talking about that. Really a hugely important part, yet a very misunderstood part about faith. I would say if anything that people have contested more about the faith message is about this, the confession. Yet people don't realize that contested realize that they don't, they never realize that they don't understand what faith's about or how it's operated on. And I know just, maybe over the last number of months, I've just listened to so many things that Christians say, and they use so many words, not necessarily use the word faith, they'll use the word trust, they use the word, they're saying these things that they throw it out there, but I know by what, when they're talking, they have no clue what they're talking about. A Christian today, most Christians, when they use the term faith, it's sort of very generic. The idea of faith is because, you know, just a belief that they have, you know, and so that's why I have faith. Yeah, you know, and I trust. I'm going to trust God. And I know this. If you'd ask them how they do trust God, I know without a shadow of doubt, they couldn't answer the question. They couldn't answer. How are you going to do it? They can't answer the question. And it's a hugely important part. We surely need to know how to answer the question. And we talked about this some last week, and I'm going to go back over, reiterate some things, and maybe go into a little more detail. I just got a sense today as I was reading back through the scriptures on some of this. We went over in the areas of Mark 11:23 about what Jesus said when he said, say unto this mountain. But I want to back up to look at what when Jesus spoke to the tree, to begin with, that started all this off in Mark the 11th chapter, and just to sort of get an idea here about this, about what was said. Now, I'm going to start Mark the 11th chapter, first at verse 12. It says, now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. This is Jesus, said he was hungry. Seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if, perhaps, he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And it says the disciples heard it. So a very simple thing took place. Nothing elaborate was said. When Jesus spoke, we don't have him. He said it and said it and said it and said it. It just they heard him say this and they walked off. So the disciples heard him. So, now when we go down to verse 20, we have here in this event, now, what happens in the following day, coming, leaving, and going back, they're heading into Jerusalem, in the city. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, in other words, dried up from the roots. In other words, they were looked at and saw the leaves and stuff on it were withering. So you know it's drying up from the roots. It's not getting moisture up through the roots of a tree. I'm not sure about if these were palm figs or what. I don't know what they were. I never studied that to find out if that was whatever kind. I don't know. Is there any other kind of fig trees? And I have no clue. I've seen palm figs ready. They were palm trees that were fed figs on them, but I've never seen others. I didn't know if there was any. Anyhow, it says, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, or he said, Teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, we don't see that there was any kind of thing here as a, oh my God, look at this, or anything. This seems much more normal conversational. Because we have Jesus turn around and talk to these disciples, and he talks and responds. Peter said, hey, Rabbi, look. Now, we need to understand this is, here in the New King James, they have word by the word, look, they have an exclamation point. But we need to know in original Greek there was neither any kind of a punctuation at all. So they put it here. He said, hey, look. Maybe he did. But he said, the fig tree, which you curse, is withered away. So he said, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. So Jesus, in response, does not go into an elaboration concerning what he did. He tells them what they can do. The church has totally thrown that out. They only look at what, you know, this is Jesus. You need to understand this in believing. Something the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was studying over some of these things. He said, most people believe that Jesus did what he did because he was the Son of God. He's God. He did that. And he said, if people have that belief in them, their faith basically will never really work. Faith will never work because they will always believe that what Jesus did, that was Jesus. So they're always going to look at it that way. They're always going to view it that this is what Jesus did. And so we need to understand is this is Jesus is in the earth. He's operating as a man. What he's doing is a man. He's speaking here to men. He told these men when they asked him and said, look at the tree you spoke to. He said to them, in other words, oh, basically he's telling them this is not a big deal. This is not a big deal. You guys look at this. Now he tells them something important. Because it was when Jesus, and we talked about this last week, when Kenneth Hagin, the Lord spoke to him about these scriptures and said to him, where Jesus specifically spoke to Kenneth Hagin and said, if you'll notice, he said in Mark 11, 23, the word says in a form is there three times, and he said the word believe is there one time. He said, you're going to have to deal with people more with saying, three times more than with saying. You have to teach them three times more about saying than believing. He said, most of Christians, their problem is not believing, it's what they're saying. And so we need to begin to understand that. Because Jesus did not say you're going to have what you believe. He didn't say that. See, Christians have this strange idea that just because I believe certain things, that makes it faith. No, it's not. Something believed without vocalizing it, is not. It is faith doing nothing. It is a belief that will do nothing, and that's where something we have to realize that. I found this out talking many times to people, especially who haven't been taught around the faith theories, and they will talk around. And when I'll talk to them about prayer, they think prayer. Many Christians, in fact, I was just talking to an individual this past week who, to them, prayer was sort of internalizing things. And when I talked to them about what the Bible says about prayer and speaking, and they said, you know, I guess I've never really talked to God about it. I've always just sort of, you know, thought about these things. I don't know where people got this idea at, that internalizing thinking things is somehow praying. It's not praying. Whatever thing you ask when you pray, didn't say whatever you internalize or think about when you pray. we have such, in the church world, I mean, there's just a lot messed up out there. There's just a lot of squirrely stuff and believing out there. What's bad about it is people don't realize they're believing it. That's what, I don't know how anybody got the idea that prayer wasn't vocalizing something. I mean, just think about the areas of speaking in tongues. When man speaks in tongues, he's not speaking unto men, but unto God. Well, it didn't say if you sit around and think in tongues. If you'll sit and think in tongues, you know, you're talking to God. No, you're not. You have to voice it. It's a matter of communication. And understanding about the principles of faith. Believing is really the spiritual side of a thing. But that spiritual side cannot come to pass till it's vocalized in the earth. When we say something here in this earth, when we vocalize what's in our heart, what we vocalize then can come to pass in here, in the earth. without it being vocalized, what you spiritually believe never becomes, you know, it's just like a person believing on Jesus. If they, I don't care if they have every belief right about being saved, but they've never vocalized it, it never happened. Vocalizing it is what brings it to pass, is what manifested in this realm. In other words, salvation will never take place till one vocalizes it. Then it'll happen. And it happens here in the earth. You can't get saved, you go to heaven and get saved. You're either saved here or it don't happen. And so really, it's what brings things to path on this earth. On this earth. And it's getting that those thoughts into ourself to where we, you know, it becomes a reality to us. You know, just like Jesus said, surely I say to you, in other words, you could literally write this and it would be, it's not changing the scripture. Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what he would be saying here, for surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain, look, I'm going to tell you the truth about this, speaking this mountain. He said, be removed and be cast in the sea. Does not doubt in his heart. In other words, there's a belief in his heart, but what he says has to be in line with what he's believing in his heart. What he says must be lying. And so, see, doesn't, but he believes that those things, what does he believe? He believes that the things that what he says. Many people believe God, but don't believe a thing of what they said. He said it's about believing what you say. Now, he started this whole thing out about, you know, having the faith of God. But he's telling us is what comes to pass is believing what you say. This is why people talk junk and they believe it. And they bring it to pass like crazy. They talk their trash and they bring it to pass. People talk trash all the time and they bring it to pass. They're talking junk. They believe it. And they don't realize the things that they are believing. They're bringing these things to pass. They keep talking these things. They keep talking this stuff. They keep saying, because what? Then they end up having what they said. So you have what you said. And so that's one of the things, it's so important here, is dealing with this, is the fact of the power of speaking things. When we begin to say what we believe in our heart, and this is one of the things is that when we want to bring God's things to pass, we got to make sure we have what God said or what, you know, it's in line with God to what we're believing. And then begin to say those things. Now, there's many people of all kinds of things and ways that they believe, but it's not what God said. They believe them and they say them. And they bring them to pass. I know Juan and I are dealing with an incident of an individual and dealing in the areas of cancer, and they go to a church where really they're not taught faith. And when they talk about believing, it's the most nonsensical thing you'd ever hear in your life. I mean, I said to Juan tonight a certain thing, and she said, oh, she's changed now. She's saying something else. And so, you know, just it's constant all over the place. And I said, I'm just telling you this. She's planning on dying. I don't care what she says. She's saying one thing and the other, but I said, I'm watching her actions. She's planning on dying. That's what she's planning. She's, because all of her actions are she's getting ready to die, doing all these things, putting everything in order to leave. And I said, that's what's going on. And I said, unless by the grace of God, God does something wonderful. But I said, we can't stand in faith and agreement with her. We can't do that because there is no agreement. From the standpoint, from prayer that she says, pray for me. And I went, well, for what? Pray what? What are you going to pray for? See, what is it? See, people don't realize. So one thing is I've done over the years, I've asked people, tell me what exactly you believe. Now, I can agree with you on exactly what you believe, but I can't agree on you with you exactly on what you want. Most people misrepresent that. They think that faith is because they want something. That makes it faith. It's not faith. No faith in wanting something. I could want something I had no faith in. It's like with her. I believe if you had said to her, yes, I would really like to live. But that's not faith. That's It's not what's in her heart. That's not a heart belief. So we need to understand that. You know, we're lots of times in prayer and that stuff, people are just moving on a whole new different direction. The only thing you can do is, it's one of those things, you just pray in tongues and say, God, woo, whatever. What else do you do about this? I have no clue. I have no clue what to do. Because when a person's all over the place. So we want to walk in line with what the Word of God says. Following, you know, really, I think in some ways faith is so simple. I just don't understand how people stumble over it so much and stumble over it so much. But generally, I guess it's from a scriptural standpoint, it's not taught. I always think about, you know, when the Lord told Kenneth Hagin to go teach my people faith, and that was the whole thing, is his ministry was to get people ready for the return of Jesus Christ and go teach my people faith. Well, I'll tell you, most people, I mean, they would think you're slapping them in the face saying that, because they think they have faith. They sure think they do, and they don't realize, you know, how to operate at all. They don't realize how it operates or works. I said last week, and I say again this week, Kenneth Hagin said, if you're not satisfied with what you've got, check on what you're saying. Not satisfied with what you've got, check on what you're saying. And also we made the fact is this is another thing that and I like that Kenneth Hagin had made a statement about it. He said, what you believe God strongly in your heart will not necessarily come to pass just because you're believing strongly. So you can believe strongly in saying the wrong things. I know I've had people ready. I know they can believe the right thing, but they have no control over their mouth. And the bad part about it, what they're believing inside, it can't come to pass. It can't come, yet they're believing correctly. They're believing it correctly. We read the scriptures that we read last week before we closed with Proverbs 6 and verse 2. It said, you're snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. And then I read it from the Bible in basic English, and it said, you're taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. The sayings of your lips have overcome you. That's Proverbs 6 and verse 2. You know, it says you're snared. A snare was a net, and it says it's snared by the words of your mouth. So, you know, just here on this side of it, they're the opposite side of it. You know, you could be set free and not ensnared by the words of your mouth, because if your words of your mouth could bind you up the same way as saying, speaking the right words and doing the right words, be a thing that really brings freedom in your life. So definitely want to walk in the freedom that God has for us. And we made mention that, you know, that lots of times Christians blame the devil for their problems, but really, they're taken captive by their own words. They don't realize that. You know, they say, well, the devil brought this into my life. Well, they don't realize, no, I brought it. I opened the door and I invited it into my life by the things I've been saying. I've been speaking the wrong thing, speaking about... That's why people have to be very careful today, especially these days we live in all this crazy stuff going on out here, all the nutsies with our government and all this kind of stuff going on. People need to be very careful of the negativity that they talk about things, because they can be opening the door to themselves, to a lot of problems and that kind of stuff, because expecting bad things to happen. I hear Christians saying stuff all the time, bugs me, bothers me, because they're expecting bad. And you know when it comes? They're going to go pray for me. Well, if you don't keep your mouth shut, I ain't wasting my time talking. You gotta have to guard your mouth. You can't expect the bad to come. Brother Hagin said, you don't have to believe for tests and trials. They'll come. So no use confessing them and talking about them. They'll come. They'll come. And it's just true to that. Why sit and talk about the problems that could arise or things like that? That doesn't mean that we're, you know, but saying and talking the right things and doing the right things can really, you know, they can deal with a lot of things that are problems and stuff that would arise, taking care of things like that. Begin to having the right attitude about it. Because getting a bad attitude, I see sometimes as like Christian, I listen to things that people talk about, and it really bugs me because I really, man, they have a very bleak outlook of life. I realize a lot of problems going on, and I know, I read the book. Things don't turn out well for the world, but it's going to turn out really good for Ed. I read the book, man. Turns out real good for Ed. And so it's like, but you got to keep that. You can't let them, you can't let what goes on around steal your joy. And it'll steal your joy by you letting it get a hold of your tongue. Let it get a hold of your tongue, it'll start stealing your joy. You don't want that to happen. So Mark said, Jesus said to Mark that we'd have what we say. In 1 John 4:4 says this, that you're of God, little children. You're of God. Now that's you and I, we're of God. That's who we are. It's 1 John 4:4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. See, we have the, and think about this, not only having our voice tied to our own spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Man, the one to put you over, the greater one's living in us. We ought to have something greater to say. We should have something greater to say. The Holy Spirit. John said to these people, said to the believers, you're of God. I can say to you guys now, you're of God. And they said, and what? You've overcome them. You've overcome this world system. You're not trying to overcome the world system. You've overcome it. That's why when I look at what's going on out here, it's, you can either look, you're trying to work through this, or you're on top of this thing. Your view of it is going to have a lot to what you're going to be doing and saying and talking. Is your view. You're either going to talk with it as being a conqueror or a victor, or you're going to be talking as the victim. And today, most people are all victims. Everybody's a victim. And that's what we're trained to be victims. We're trained to be victims, you know. You're an idiot, you'll never change. You know, just the way you are. Say, dear Lord, hallelujah. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say all the time, he says, used to ask, is the Holy Spirit a spiritual hitchhiker in you? Is it? No, he's not. Now, I want you to go over to Numbers, the 13th chapter, because we want to look here at an example of things tonight, because of what happened to the children of Israel. Because there's a lot of things in a story. There's no way we can read all that. You know, it's one thing is if you learn the principle of faith and then begin to sit down and look at the children of Israel from the time of the coming out of Egypt and through. There's one thing that you'll find to their first entering into, they come up to the land of Canaan. You will find one thing about them. They never were in faith. I mean, you know, Moses came to be their deliverer, and he came up to deliver them, and soon as bad happened. Hey, you're making it bad on us, and blah, blah. And, you know, they got out to deliver as soon as they get it. I mean, the Red Sea opened. They walked through it. Pharaoh's army, 3 days later, they're cursing Moses, and they're mad. We say, we don't have any water. Instead of stopping and saying, hey, you know, God can open the Red Sea. Could he, dear Lord, get us a drink? Cheer. I mean, but I want you to understand this. This is what they were over in Egypt. See, I don't know that they were specifically became slaves because God wanted them to be slaves. I believe they became slaves because of their attitudes. They were people, they didn't act like leaders. They never act like people that were, they act like people on the bottom all the time. Griping and complaining all the time coming out. And this is one thing you know. Just because you see miracles, just because you're around that kind of, that doesn't mean you're ever going to have any kind of faith. These people were proof of it. I mean, you talk about miracles. Now, these are major stuff. These people saw with their eyes things to take. They saw armies defeated. They saw, you know, you name the things. I mean, dear Lord, A pillar of fire every night stood over their camp. Every day they went out in the desert to walk, and a cloud shadowed them. They had a super, every day of the year, every day of every week of every year, they had a supernatural event, food provided for them. Every day. And you know what? They get up to the land, they don't believe God at all. Why? And this is the whole thing you got to get. Faith comes by hearing the word. They paid no attention to what was said. And number two, they never talked what God said. Never. Never. That they could never become faith people. If you can't control your mouth, you can never be a faith person. Never. Never. If you can't control your mouth, you can never become a faith person. I'm not saying that to speak kind of ugly to anybody or anything. That's just the truth. They never controlled their mouth. God takes them across and brings them to the land. They finally come to the place to enter the land of Canaan. And God speaks to Moses and had him send spies in. Anyhow, the spies come back. Now, in Numbers, the 13th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 26. That's where I'm going to start reading from. It says, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. Truly is flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" Nevertheless, it matters not what God said about it. I want you to understand what I think of the subject. Let me tell you what I think. They didn't care. See, they were never people of the word. It mattered. Just think, God gave them all this law. Do you realize when they were coming out how they had been taught about memorizing the law? They were told to do all these kind of things. They never did none of it. Never did any of it. And what if they did do? They didn't believe it. They never believed it. And they might have had, go through the thing of saying it, and they could sit and quote things, but they didn't believe it, and they talked everything else. They never became faith people. Never. They never became faith people. Never became, and you need to understand, I know people who have gone to church all their life, can quote scriptures, do all kind of things, and they ain't faith people, and they'll never be a faith person because they never control their mouth. They never control their mouth. They'll always talk what's around them going on and happened or what somebody else did, or that's the stuff they'll tell you. They'll do all those things. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak." Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what we saw with our eyes. "And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Woe is me." Now listen to what he said. They're 10. Now this, they named all this stuff off. The greatest military in the earth, with their own eyes, they saw destroyed. But you know what? When you're not faith people, I don't care what you saw. The next event comes up, you're the same person you were before. Unchanged. This is what they are, unchanged people. Oh, man. Yeah, this is great. This big time. God can't do this. See, they had never meditated on what God said about the land. Oh, yeah, it's nice. It's like everything he said, it's really neat. See, what he said about taking it, now that's a bunch of junk. That's a bunch of junk. Oh, yeah, it's really nice over there. Nice place, but we can't go over there. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Gee, this one guy believes they can lick them. The rest of them say, "We can't. We can't lick them. We can't do that." That's her voice. That's what they said. That's their voice speaking. And now it goes on to say, verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, excuse me, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. He didn't say we're grasshoppers like in their sight. He said, no, we're in our own sight. Oh, in our own sight. And we were in their sight. Now look, their voice, what they're saying, is exactly what they become. They become exactly what their voice said, what they're saying. Caleb said, we can go kick. Hey, let's go in there. We get these boys. They're saying, no, we can't get these boys. You guys don't get it. The word here used in the Hebrew for bad report, it means to slander, defaming, infamy, and slander. So in other words, they are saying slander. Who are they slandering? God. They're slandering God. They're defaming God. I want you to listen to what Kenneth Hagin had to say about these. I mean, Kenneth Hagin definitely wouldn't be popular in most churches today because they wouldn't call this a positive message. This is what Kenneth Hagin said. This isn't Ed Gibson. But I will say I agree with him. He said, a Christian has no more business peddling doubt than peddling dope. If I were pastoring, I'd rather have dope peddlers and bootleggers in my church than doubt peddlers. Now, listen, if you can't get a dope peddler right with God, you could put him out of the church, and everyone would agree. But try putting a doubt peddler out of the church and see what happens. A huge amount in there. Oh, I know. There's people... You get around the church world today, there's people around in there, and they're nothing but Mr. and Mrs. Unbelief in churches, and they go around, people let them go. Yet Paul talked about people like that. Don't even as much as eat with them. Oh, now everybody's always worried about these, you know, like he said, the drug addict, or the this or that. They don't realize the devil using that individual causes more harm than anything. The church don't even know what's bad anymore. They have no clue what's bad. What they think is bad, God sits up there and shakes his head, and they're just like, oh, what a bunch of little kids they are running around down there, you know, playing with dynamite and yelling at somebody for smoking a cigarette, you know, just, and they're playing with dynamite. Especially, like, I mean, people like this, I mean, and really, you get people that are always running around peddling unbelief, and boy, you get them. They're just always running around talking their junk. I've watched this over the years of teaching in our church. Sometimes people come and say to me, and you'd never think they ever sit in a pew. You'd never think they ever been in our church. They'll say things that almost make me fall over. Where's the relationship between this and what we teach? They don't say that. They're so used to talking certain ways. And it just, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And they literally think that they're walking in truth. They're not listening to what's going on. People can get over it and not listen at all to what's true or what's right. You know, Caleb didn't deny that there was giants in the land. He didn't deny that. But he believed they could overcome them. See, Caleb was a guy who believed what the promise or what God had said. And that's what he had been saying. I will guarantee you this is just as sure as the sun starting tomorrow. There was 12 spies set in. Now we know there's two agreement spies who agreed with God. Joshua and Caleb. The other ones didn't. I will tell you this straight out. I can say this. God don't have to speak from heaven to tell me this. I know how faith works. those two guys didn't have to go in the land to see if they were going to be able to take the land. They went in to see what it was like. The rest of them went in to see if they could take the land. Joshua and Caleb knew going in they could take the land. God had already promised it to them. My words, why would you go on? I know this, the others, they had never believed the word of God. They only believed what they saw. They could only believe what they could hear with their ears, see with their eyes, feel with their, you know, skin, and that was it. And nothing matched up good for them, but they're acting exactly the same way they had done for all the time period till they had come to this. Nothing had changed. God didn't expect them to be able to go in the land. God knew when they got there what those people were going to do. He knew. And He said to them, and in fact, in this thing, God had spoken to them and told them, He's fed up with them. He said, you've disobeyed me this last 10 times, and He said, this is the end of it. Right here. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I do. He said, I'm not going to give you what you said. You said your children are going to die in this land. He said, no, you're going to. And I'm going to take your children in. He didn't let their voice kill their kids. They were trying to destroy their own children. And I will guarantee you, every one of those parents would have said they loved their children. Biggest liars that ever lived on the face of the earth. But they would have swore they did. But yet they were doing something to destroy their children's future. Their mouths were setting a course for destruction. If God had not intervened, that's what had happened to their kids. Their kids would have died. Thank God had mercy on their children in spite of all those stupid parents. God delivered. Good God, good God. And but see, people don't realize. I mean, when you said, people read these stories in the Bible, you know, like over the years, and I used to sit down and, as a kid, you know, in church, and they would tell the stories of, you know, and you'd have them in classes about the children of Israel, and you'd sit there, and, well, they knew, never told us anything about faith, so you'd understand why this all this went on. I used to think, man, how come these people ain't anybody God in anything? Well, once I got born again, learned about faith, and I thought, my God, the people I went to church with were just like them. They were identical. They didn't believe God no more than the Israelites did coming out. It's the same stuff being passed on down the line. They didn't know. They don't know how to do nothing. They don't believe in God. They read a story, say all of it's true, read the stuff, the miracles. They don't even, oh, that's all for the past. You can't even have those miracles. You can't even allow to have that stuff. In Numbers, the 14th chapter, verse 8, we'll come down through in closing on this, because I don't want to go into any of the next part of the teaching. In the 14th chapter of Numbers, in verse 8, we'll look at Caleb. Caleb said, if the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us. He'll bring us in a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bred. Their protection is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do you know what he... Now listen to what he said. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do you realize their unbelief is called rebellion? Not believing what God said is called rebellion. Boy, they don't believe that today. That's Kenneth Hagin used to teach that about faith. Unbelief is rebellion. To not believe what the Bible says is rebelling against the Bible. Now, whether any of I'm rebelling against that, I don't believe that's true. That's rebellion against it. They heard what the Word of God says. They knew what it said. Now, Caleb stood up and told them what God said, which they had all heard. But you know what? They're going to follow what they believe. Verse 10, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. For about the 497th time. But you know what? Those things had no effect on them at all. Unbelieving people. People who don't learn how to live and walk by faith, all the miracles and stuff around them, don't lead them anymore to trusting God and following God and walking with God. I saw a lot from when back in the 80s when I came into the kingdom and started seeing the moves of God, I really realized at the end of the 80s going into the 90s, I started to realize how many people back in the 80s never developed in faith because when the miracles stopped, everything stopped for them. Because that's all they were doing was just following around after miracles and stuff. They never developed any faith. So it was like, well, that's not real anymore. It's not around anymore. To me, it's like, man, this stuff's real. This is God. Why? It's a faith. But I noticed the way they talked, what they said. They had never developed into faith people. So even all the things in the past that these people walked in and saw, it really ended up having not any effect on them. Look at these people. They wanted to stone them. Kenneth Hagin said to say something different about a situation other than what the Lord has told you is rebellion. It's rebellion to rebel against what God said. See, that's why this one thing is I know. Like a lot of people talk about Kenneth Hagin and teaching on faith. A lot of people don't. They never really paid much attention. Loads of Rhema graduates never really paid attention to what Brother Hagin taught on faith. They always thought he had something nice and sweet to say. It's because they never listened to him. If they listened to half this stuff that he said, these are his quotes. Kenneth Hagin said this, more Christians will try to stone you for agreeing with the word of God than for disagreeing with it. Amen. I know it's true. I've gotten more slack from people, more junk from people standing on the word of God. When you tell them what the Bible said, they admit, yeah, it's true, but they hate you for it. And they're Christians. They don't like you for it. I like you standing on the Word of God. People like you standing on the Word of God. Oh, you're just doing this. You're that, rah, rah, rah. You're one of the... You know? I mean, look at Jesus. Who persecuted Jesus? The Word people of the day. Scribes and the Pharisees. You know? He stood on the Word, and they don't like that, you know? You don't do those things. It's really hugely important, especially... If God's word says something, you've heard me talk about this before, and I really, you know, see it among back years ago when I was growing up as a young boy, where, you know, I think a lot concerning in America and the way things went in America. It was like today, the sinner even has no respect, but while the church has no respect for the word, sinners have no respect for the word. Back in those days in the 50s, I mean, the sinners even had respect to things of God. They had never said things and did things. It's one thing. If I'm not walking by faith in an area, I learned this. You never criticize people who are. and never talk stupid about faith things and never talk dumb about them because it will cost you every time. It'll cost you. One of the most dangerous things you can do in life is criticize faith people, a person who's walking in faith. I know people, it's cost them their life. It's cost them their life. You say, why? Because you just keep trying to nail the righteous and you're in trouble. The righteous ain't somebody just because he's saved. The righteous is the guy that's doing what's right. And people need to be very careful into those areas. That was one of the things that Jimmy Swaggart ended up in his big fall was over. Knocking people walking by faith. And they all said he fell because of women. No, just what Jimmy Swaggart was saying and saying and saying and saying, and his son's on death row whether he knows it or not. His son won't live out long if he keeps doing saying some of the stuff he's saying about people. He won't live out long. You know? Don't knock a person when he's walking faith. Because you don't know nothing about it, no. It's one thing to do it in ignorance, another thing to do it in malice. They do it in malice. What it cost his daddy, and he's doing it. Dumb things to do. You just things that you don't do. I realize there's people out here who don't walk in faith right. It's not my problem. There's people teach it wrong. I don't quit teaching or acting on what the word says because somebody perverts it or does something weird with it. Don't matter if they do something weird with it. That's them, not me. But you don't throw faith out and you don't throw those things out because somebody did something dumb. That's how, you know, really things end up in huge amounts of problems when people do that kind of stuff, is they get over and start doing and saying dumb things on top of, you know, just because somebody else did something stupid. So now we're all going to act stupid. We're going to do something. We're going to do something weird. No. Faith is the right thing to do. It's something to walk, what you're supposed to walk in, and whether other people walk in it or not and do it, it matters not. Kenneth Hagin got in a lot of trouble with God over the thing, because just in the areas of healing, because he didn't want to minister over in certain areas because of the flack he got from people, even though what he did was biblical and it was right, but people would give a hard time. And the Lord told him, who called you, me or them? The Lord said, when are you going to start doing that? He said, well, I didn't really think about it. He said, well, you're either going to do it or else. He said, well, I found out I didn't want that else stuff, so he said. But see, the whole thing. See, he had quit walking in the knowledge of truth because people, persecution and stuff. You don't do it. I don't know. You tell what is true. I found a long time ago, when you're going to stand on what's true, you will always be in a minority. You're going to be in a minority. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. I mean, all this kind of stuff, this biggest line today, well, if you really walk in love, like they're all going to love you. I'm going to tell you what, that's the biggest lies in the world. Brother Hagin told us this in numbers of times in school. He used to say, if everybody likes you, check up on yourself. Something's wrong with your life. He said, you're probably not living in line with the Word. Now, people don't like to hear that stuff because we have all this psychological stuff that's preached today in this psychology of where everything, you know, come by y'all and we're all going to just, you know, get together real good. It's not true. It's not the way it is. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Oh, we ain't going to preach that one. Man, I'll tell you what. Hold it. No. See, Jesus ain't allowed in church today. Jesus ain't allowed in a lot of church today. And they will talk about, they can say God's here all they want. He ain't coming there. God ain't going to show up where His Word's not honored. You honor His Word. You know, you can take a person and maybe don't. You know, I think sometimes some of the, what they call a fundamentalist, they ain't really fundamentalist, but they call them a fundamentalist. But I think some of them get more of God in church than some of the, a lot of the Spirit-filled. Because they, at least they walk in the light of what they got. You know, no matter how much the Bible I know is true, it's how much I walk with it. Don't matter about the rest of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we'll end there with that. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Lord God, God, we know we're living in a world that's definitely heading in a different direction than we're going. And we understand and we know that. But I thank you, Father God, that you've taught us is what's true. And Lord God, in the book of Hebrews, it warns us not to head in the direction that Israel did and what they did, where they weren't able to enter the land. It warns the believer of that. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Father, those warnings were put there for us, for our admonition. And Lord God, I tell you, we're going to take that warning. And Lord God, I appreciate that you put those things in Scripture. Lord God, to remind us to continue to walk in what your Word says. Hallelujah. Lord God, we believe what your Word says is true. We're going to walk in the light of it. And thank you so much for your patience and your kindness and your goodness to us in Christ Jesus. And Father God, we want to thank you. Father, we're not going to do what the Bible says Israel do. They didn't enter into the rest. And Lord, in this day and time, surely the church needs to enter into a place of rest. Hallelujah. Lord God, we can't try to walk in the turmoil of this world. We have to walk in the Spirit. And we thank you, Father God, by following and walking your Word. Lord God, we enter into the place of rest of this day and time where we can be the most effective, Father God, concerning your plans and your purposes. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.